This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard.
Girls, particularly middle school and high school girls, are a big target when it comes to product marketing. Messages about ideal body size, hair texture, makeup hit girls hard at a time when they can be especially vulnerable.
That's where Project Girl comes in. The multimedia program uses writing, art, music, and more to help girls process the messages that bombard them every day and can influence their happiness and self-esteem. One creation from Project Girl puts it this way.
One day at school, I found myself in the lunchroom eating alone. So I went home and I looked in the mirror and I realized that I wasn't a real trendsetter. I needed some lasting solutions. I saw that my lashes didn't flutter and my lips had no pucker, so I built and separated some seriously fabulous lashes without a clump in sight by using Revlon's Be Fabulous Mascara. Plus, I created instantly plump lips with Sally Hansen's Lip Inflation Tints. Now my eyes and smile are smoking.
Kelly Park Snyder joins us now. She's a writer, multimedia artist, and the co-founder of Project Girl. Her work explores contemporary cultural and social issues to educate communities, stimulate dialogue, and create social change. Kelly, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a bit about what we just heard. What are you getting at that with that one?
You know, it makes me laugh when I hear that, because I remember when, you know, the origin of when that was created, and Jane Bartel, who's the co-founder of Project Girl, and I were just rummaging through some magazines. And so as you hear that, it sounds all so goofy, but we were basically just pulling out marketing slogans from various magazines and putting them together and coming up with this idea to create this animation. So, you know, historically, our identities were typically created through, you know, we learned about them through our families, through our histories. We've learned about them through the interest in the things that we love. But marketers, they want to create our identities for us based on the products that they sell. And you know, if you talk to young people nowadays, they know more about, you know, about celebrities' lives than some of their neighbors' lives. And so the whole idea of animation is just, you know, the young girl goes to the mall, and she goes in the mall in pursuit of happiness, and it's like this carrot that's dangling in front of her, and that, you know, that's their game. The game is that they want to focus in on your vulnerabilities as a young person, and that's why they target kids. And then as they do that, they want you to feel okay about yourself, but not great, because what they really want you to do is buy their products. And so by boxing kids in, you know, targeting them to shop at various stores creates this identity, and it really has nothing to do with them at all. It just has something to do with the clothes that they're wearing on their body. But at the end of that animation, what happens is the young girl goes to the mall. She goes to buy all of these products in pursuit of happiness. And at the end, she realizes that, you know, it's that inner joy that is far more important than that outward appearance that comes mm-hmm. from buying products.
Right. And that's the core message of Project Girl, certainly part of it. When did you get the idea for Project Girl and decide that something like this was needed?
Well, you know, as an artist, I like to combine two things that I care about, art and creating change. And at the time, I had three daughters who were in middle school, and I just looked at how complicated their lives had become. And so I just started asking questions. You know, why do young people think they have to be sexualized so soon? You know, why are we so dissatisfied with the way we look? You know, why do we feel like we need to go buy things, you know, to be happy? Why are young girls having a difficult time getting along? A lot of questions. And a lot of research went into it. And then as Jane and I went through and connected with many experts and leaders in the field, it seemed that there had been some significant changes, and those changes had to do with media. So we gathered up a group of girls, probably the most diverse, wonderful group of girls in Madison. This was roughly 12 years ago. And the girls got together, and they were the advisors, because we knew this was important. But we also understood that we had to say this in a way that young people would connect to this. So, you know, using art has always been the way that I have learned. And so using art, that was the vehicle that attracted the girls to the project. But it was also the art that helped them learn how to express themselves, to think about these issues. And then the art is their forceful reaction, a pushback against what, you know, in telling people, you know, it's a pushback and reflecting what young girls really care, not you know, mediated and Hollywood profit-driven sort of messages. So we the defining difference about Project Girl is that we expect girls to be the change. Through their art, they are reformers, they're producers of real art that real girls care about.
Why do you think girls are so vulnerable to marketing messages like the ones that we heard in that ad? And maybe it's not girls, just girls anymore. Maybe it's young kids in general.
You know, it is young kids in general. Initially, we talked with girls primarily, but we're working with boys all the time. And it's because, you know, $18 billion is marketed towards young people. They have bypassed, the marketers have bypassed adults, and they're targeting young people because they assume they're vulnerable. They're counting on them to nag their parents because they influence over $700 billion of spending. And there's also 52 million young people under the age of 12. So that's a huge target. You know, marketers are going after young people. But the other thing is just the saturation with the technology advancements. You know, there is media everywhere, and young people are interacting with it and seeing roughly 3,000 media messages a day, which is a huge change from even, you know, 30 years ago.
What did you hear from the girls that you worked with about how these ads and these messages were affecting their lives and their self-esteem and their relationships?
Well, you know, there's so much body dissatisfaction, and 80% of all women are dissatisfied with their bodies. So, you know, that's one of the issues. An issue that I really feel strong about is just the difficulties that girls are having in getting along. And, you know, and I can be working with a group of girls and 200 girls in an auditorium talking about, you know, this. And if I ask those young girls, can you give me an example of girls, you know, being good to each other, girls being trustworthy towards each other, a few hands will go up. And then I ask that same group of girls, you know, what about relationships that aren't good? Girls who are stabbing each other in the back, girls who are being, you know, competing all about boys, girls who, and every hand goes up. And so, you know, what's happening is that because of the saturation of those types of stories, I really believe that that is normalizing some of these behaviors for girls. But I want to be specific in saying that, you know, that isn't, those are media driven stories. But when I work with young girls, they're amazing. They're wonderfully creative, they're complex. You know, one of the things that they've taught me is that they're so tired of being bystanders and that they are really great change makers and they want to get engaged and make a difference. And I see this every day. But if you were to watch the media shows, you know, you'd get a totally different sort of perspective on girls.
Well, how do they do that? How do they work through those messages and affect positive change in their own lives and in the lives of their friends and their families?
Well, you know, we do this in all kinds of ways. In fact, we even work with first graders through a children's picture book. But, you know, for an example, we would come into a school and we would work with middle school girls and we would do after school programmings, or we could do, you know, we could do programming during the day, and we could do this with boys as well. And as we work with them and we go through our curriculum that was developed, an art-based, art-integrated curriculum, the young people, they learn a lot. They begin to think. They begin to dialogue. They create art. And through that art, then they have an exhibition in their school. And then those middle schoolers, they're the leaders. They're the change makers. They're the ones that will then be talking to the younger kids as docents, giving young people an opportunity to learn what they have learned. You know, and so it's this circle of change and it's this circle of leadership where everybody has an opportunity to be a part of the change. And it's young people teaching young people, you know, and that's such a wonderful story because we hear so many stories about kids just doing all these terrible things. But, you know, the stories that that we're creating are stories about young people who are the change that this world really needs to see.
Well, the presence of advertising, it's huge. It's everywhere. It's hard to escape it unless you go completely off the grid in terms of media. So how does someone, you know, do that if part of what they want to do is remove themselves from the line of those messages?
Yeah, well, our approach is never to preach at young people and say, you know, you can't watch this. Because, you know, what we want young people to do is to learn to interrogate and to learn to be more critical. They've grown up in this culture, so they don't really see this as being bad. You know, we can all look back and see historical frameworks and see how things have changed. But young people, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. But, you know, to me, you know, the fact that young people are interacting with media more than they're interacting in the schools just proves the fact that we need to have in our public schools, we need to have media literacy as part of the curriculum.
We're talking right now with Kelly Parks Snyder. She's a writer, multimedia artist, and the co-founder of Project Girl.
Her work explores contemporary cultural and social issues to educate communities. And we want to hear from you now. As a parent, how do you help your daughter or your boys, for that matter, deal with this constant bombardment of media messages? If you're a kid yourself, what do you think about all the ads you see, the stories you see? Does it look like real life to you? Is positive self-esteem challenging for girls in particular? Why do you think that is? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation after the news. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking to Kelly Parks Snyder. She's a writer, multimedia artist, and the co-founder of Project Girl. Her work explores contemporary cultural and social issues to educate communities, stimulate dialogue, and create social change.
Here's a clip from one of the Project Girl programs.
We are girls, middle school girls. We are your daughters, your granddaughters, your nieces, your students, your best friend's child. We are the next generation, your legacy, a reflection of the world we were born into and the hope for a better future for all of us. We are also targets. As a market segment, we are worth an estimated $150 billion a year to corporate America. Advertisers are spending hundreds of millions of dollars each year to try and shape and influence us in order to sell us their products. Their messages are defining the way we view ourselves and those around us, affecting our health, our relationships, and how happy we are each and every day. Most of us don't even realize what's going on, how our lives are being controlled.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent or a teacher, do you agree? Do you see these kids as targets of the mass media, of marketers? What kind of messages are being sent to kids? If you are in that age group, in middle school, high school, or recently outgrown out of high school, what did those messages tell you? How did they change the lives of you and your friends? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Kelly, one thing that Project Girl tries to do is to teach girls to cultivate positive friendships, positive relationships. And this is something that is surprisingly hard to get a handle on sometimes during these difficult, especially middle school years. What have you seen with that?
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, talking to girls and about being an ally, this is one of the things I like to do, is, you know, an ally doesn't mean that you're best friends. It doesn't mean that you hang out together. But an ally is somebody that supports, is somebody who supports each other. An ally is somebody who supports each other's differences. An ally is somebody that can help you broaden, you know, who you are and be okay with that. And an ally can be somebody that's protective. When, you know, in a time in these young girls' lives when they really need each other, you know, they're really, you know, pitted against each other through the advertising stories, you know, like I had discussed earlier about girls not getting along. And so the other idea, you know, I don't really like to talk about bullying because, I mean, everybody's a bully, a victim. We've all been everything all the at times in our lives. But more of about like, how do you use your power? You know, how do you use your power to make a difference in the world? You know, if we want young people to value themselves, then give them something to do that's worth doing. And so social change is one of those activities. It gives young people meaning. It gives purpose to their life. It gives them that rare privilege where they can make a difference in somebody else's lives. And that's always the hook that gets these girls into these projects. I'll never forget years ago, when we say we are girl-led, a lot of programs say that, you know, but being girl-led is a lot of work because, you know, it takes a lot of work to teach your mentors to then work with young girls, and it's very collaborative. But I asked, I sent out an email to a few girls that I knew who could lead in Madison, and it was a week before school started, and we met at a high school, and one of those girls picked up that email that I'd sent her, made a Facebook page about it, sent it out over Facebook, and surprisingly, 40 girls walked in to that room. 40 girls who were there. There were no carrots. There were no community service hours. It was like, I'm looking for girls who want to make a difference in the lives of younger girls. And they all marched in that very hot evening, and I will never forget that. And that's what I see every day.
Well, let's go to our callers now. We have Mark on the line with us in Appleton. Hi, Mark.
Hello. My comment, I think, real quickly is that, yes, absolutely, I believe people market to kids, very clearly market positively and negatively. And I'm an educator, and I get, I think, upset and a little offended by some of the negative images and messages that I see go out to teenagers. So for anybody to ask the question, do marketers go towards kids? Without question.
Okay, thank you so much for your thoughts on that, Mark. And you know, Mark, seeing advertisers going after kids, is there a right way, or you know, maybe do we need to look to the marketers and advertisers themselves and ask for reform from that end instead of expecting kids to become savvier and savvier consumers?
Yeah, I have more faith in the kids than I do in the corporate America, to be honest. I mean, there's so many profit-driven businesses out there, and I'm not saying they're all bad, and I'm not saying all marketing's bad. However, it's unconscionable some of the ways marketers target young people, and you know, and to me, that is a social justice issue because they really take advantage of their vulnerabilities. They, you know, millions of dollars are spent studying brains and how brains react to various market slogans. They know what they're doing. I mean, one of the reasons why we bypassed parents and went to kids is because marketers, that's what they do, and they know what they're doing, and they're very effective about it.
Well, thank you for that call. Let's go next to Chris in Greendale. Hi, Chris.
Hi there.
What do you think?
Actually, I have more of a little bit of a comment, but more of a question. You know, it's been a while since I was in middle school or, you know, like a teenager, but I can remember as early as like 2000 when I was in middle school, you know, being obsessed with the idea of like everybody seemed to want like six-pack abs and stuff. And like we're in middle school. And I was just wondering, like, I definitely see like males, like young boys and teenage boys being sort of victimized, I guess, by corporate America in the same ways that young girls are. And I was just wondering if there's any sort of equivalent, like, organizations at all that address the issue with boys. Just because I feel like there's, you know, there's a lot of organizations that sort of strive to empower, like, you know, young girls, but it doesn't seem to be a lot addressing the issue with boys.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your thoughts there, Chris. And I'm also curious, you can speak to Chris's questions, but is that a change that you've seen? Project Girl has been around for a while. Do you see it increasingly incorporating boys, that the marketing machine and advertisers going after kids of both genders?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. You know, 12 years ago, we weren't talking to boys about body objectification for boys or body dissatisfaction with boys. I mean, if you just start looking at the models and how emaciated they are, there is a significant increase in eating disorders for males nowadays. And you know, we do, Chris, work with boys, and many of the conversations are the same. I just add, you know, I add privilege. I add how they use their power. I, you know, some of the stereotypes of men or boys, you know, or they're either a sports guy or they're a slacker. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting how then we're having some of these issues that we're seeing in the schools nowadays. One area that I'm really interested in is the mediated images towards African-American boys, because they're hugely detrimental, because we live in such a racialized society, and they are so detrimental to their life chances. And the media images, and so I'm working with a group of boys right now, and they're teaching me a lot about what it's like to interact with all of those messages and how untrue and unfair that those messages are. There was something in the Isthmus just the other day. It's called Builder Boy. Is a group that's an organization in Madison here, and I don't know all that much about it, but it sounded like a great opportunity. But you should contact me if you're interested in, you know, getting involved in something like this.
And what's your website?
Our website is www.projectgirl.org.
Great. Thank you for the call, Chris. And I'm going to go to William joining us in Madison. Hi, William.
Hello.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on this, so to kind of frame it, I own a marketing agency in Madison, and I have a background in psychology, so this really sparked big. I also have two little sisters who are 8 and 11, you know, love them so much, and so this really resonates with me that, yeah, I'd like to throw a couple things out there. First, you know, I hear language like the marketing machine and corporate America. These things dehumanize the conversation, and they really defer responsibility to some kind of magical entity that might exist if only it could, and then it'll solve the problem. When really this is conversations like what we're having right now, bringing up the idea and realizing that, you know, the marketers who are creating these messages, they're people too. They have mothers and sisters and daughters, et cetera. And, you know, also today, more than ever before, these targets are really part of shaping the message themselves. And I'm talking about social media. And so, you know, I really liked what the young girl said there about how they are a reflection. Marketing is doing the same thing, too. And so, you know, I would want to hear from some of the other callers and from you guys, you know, what should we do about this? That there are these messages, that these things do have a real impact, and that the impact is at scale.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. I appreciate your feedback, William. Thank you for calling. And William talking about making this a dialogue between the kids we're talking about, and that they're part of the equation, part of the culture, and that it's really a two-way street he's describing here.
Yeah, you're right. But I think the problem is we aren't having these conversations with young people. I often feel like the conversations that I'm having with young people, nobody's having these conversations, which is why, going back to this, really needs to be implemented into our public schools. You know, when I'm out talking around the country about this, people would ask, how do I talk to younger audiences about this? And 2 years ago, I published a book. It's called Zillia Modern Day Fable, and it's a picture book. And everybody thought there was no way you can talk to first graders about media literacy. I do it all the time, and they're wonderful at it. It's just a little bit of a different dialogue. It's a different, and what I focus in on them, on those younger audiences, is making their identity so strong, you know, and that in convincing them that they are just great the way they are. And so then if they feel that way, they don't need all of this stuff that's being marketed towards them, and they can push back and they can learn to deconstruct it themselves, because it's difficult. You know, we're asking people to interrogate a culture that they've grown up in. And I said that earlier. So, you know, we got to be having these conversations.
Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking with Kelly Park Snyder, writer, multimedia artist, and the co-founder of Project Girl.